Listen now to Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Who is the I in verse 16? In Numbers 24, the I of I see him, but not yet, was Balaam, the pagan prophet who, under the surprising inspiration of the Holy Spirit, squinted down the corridors of time and saw a star rising up out of Jacob. In Matthew chapter 2, we had we. The sermon title was, We Have Seen His Star. That we was the Magi, those mystery men who wisely followed the star of wonder and delight, westward leading, until it proceeded to take them to see and bow before the young Jesus. Who is the I in Revelation 22:16? It's Jesus himself. He says it, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. Now, these words were written down by John, who I think was the very same John who ran with Peter to the tomb that first resurrection Sunday. We just studied that a few weeks ago. Well, many decades have passed, and John has continued to believe in and follow the risen Jesus, and it's gotten him into trouble. Earlier this service, we said, in this world you will have trouble. Whew, well, that was true for John. In fact, John was imprisoned on the island of Patmos in the Mediterranean Sea, kind of like an Alcatraz situation. He's stuck there because John has been testifying to the truth of Jesus. And while John was there in exile on this little rock, it's like 32 square miles, just this little bare piece of rock out off in the sea off the coast of Turkey. While he's there, Jesus gave John a revelation. Jesus sent an angel to John who showed John all kinds of amazing things. Do you know what I'm talking about? You've probably read it. It's called the Book of Revelation, or the Revelation of Jesus Christ. The apocalypse, the unveiling, the unfolding, the revealing of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:1-2. It's a book of wonders and mystery and prophecy and worship. I read it every December as part of my annual Bible reading plan. And it often makes me shake my head in confusion and bow my head in humility and worship. You know that phrase we learned last week? I don't know, and what? And that's okay? Yeah, go ahead and say that to your neighbor. I don't know, and that's okay. I have to use that a lot when I'm reading Revelation. I don't know. That's okay. But there's a lot that's clear in it as well. And one thing that's clear in verse 16 is that it is Jesus who is speaking. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. Now, Jesus speaks several times in this last section of Revelation, chapters 22, verses 6 through 21. And his main message in this passage, he says it three times, is, I am coming soon. That's very clear. He says it in verse 7, and in verse 12, and one last time in verse 20, I am coming soon, and we need to be ready. What a good reminder this is as we finish up another calendar year. We are all that much closer to the glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has sent his angel. Did you notice that the angel belongs to Jesus? He has sent his angel with this revelation, this testimony to share with all the churches. That's us. And what does he reveal? in verse 16. He reveals his identity. He tells us who he really is. And he uses the same Greek words that he used again and again in the Gospel of John, written by the same guy, right? In Greek, ego eimi, I am. How many times in the last year and a half have we talked about his I am statements? There were 7 big ones in the Gospel of John. If we worked at it, we could probably come up with all of them, right? We just did one of them on Tuesday night, right here. I am the light of the world. Well, who does Jesus claim to be in verse 16 of Revelation 22? He says, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. There it is. I guess we don't have to wonder anymore if Numbers 24:17 was about Jesus. I think he pretty much says it is right there. At least he's the culmination of the fulfillment of Numbers 24:17. Again, I think the first fulfillment was King David. We said that 2 weeks ago. Remember the prophecy from Balaam? Kind of a magician from the east. The Holy Spirit came upon him and he said, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the sons of Sheth. Edom will be conquered. Seir, his enemy, will be conquered. But Israel will grow strong. A ruler will come out of Jacob and destroy the survivors of the city. We said then, 2 weeks ago, that was King David, to a T. He was the original star beating in the foreheads of Moab and conquering Edom. But verse 16 shows us that Jesus is related to David. How's he related to David? He's from David, and David is from him. Did you catch that in verse 16? I am the root and the offspring of David. The root and the shoot. Which one is he? He's both. Now here, Jesus is referring back to Isaiah chapter 11. Revelation hypertext with your whole Old Testament. Everything you read in the Old Testament shows up at some point in Revelation. If you're reading Revelation and you click on any verse, it's going to shoot you back to the Old Testament. Here, Jesus is referring to Isaiah 11. A few years ago, we studied Isaiah 11 at Christmas time. It's another one of those great Advent passages. Maybe this afternoon you take some time and read Isaiah 11 again. The idea there is that the Messiah was going to come from King David. So he would be David's son. But he's also the root of David, the source of David. David comes from him. How is that possible? How can he be both before and after David? Doesn't work that way in most families, right? I come from that guy, and that guy comes from me, right? In our family, it doesn't go the other direction. But with Jesus, it does. It's only possible if the Son of David is also the Son of God. So that Jesus is great David's greatest son, even greater than David himself. So that whatever was fulfilled in King David as a Messiah, an anointed king of Israel, would be fulfilled even more in great David's greatest son, the Messiah, filled to overflowing as far as the curse is found. Does that make sense? That's mind-blowing stuff. David was the star, but he was the understar, like Bonnie called it last week. But Jesus is the root and the offspring of David, and the upper star, the bright morning star. Wow. Now, it takes some chutzpah to say that, doesn't it? I am the bright morning star. If I start talking like that, Heather Joy, call the people with white jackets and the special sleeves for your arms. I am so bright. I am so luminous. I'm so shiny. I'm so splendid. I'm worth looking at. I'm worth admiring. I'm worthy of your attention and your worship. I'm the bright, bright, bright morning star. You better be if you're going to talk like that. Friends, do you believe that about Jesus? I have four very brief points of application for this verse before we celebrate Janelle's baptism. And the first one is simply to decide. Decide. If you believe that Jesus is what John says, the angel says, that Jesus says he is. I know that's a lot of says, but it's what verse 16 says, isn't it? Jesus sends an angel to tell John, to tell the churches, that Jesus is the bright morning star. Do you believe that? Interestingly, the you in verse 16 is plural. It's you all, or y'all, or, this is Western Pennsylvania, we say, yins, right? I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give yins this testimony for the churches. Do yins believe this testimony? Janelle Creek has come to believe it. And that's what she's telling the world today with her baptism. What about you? Do you believe this, or do you think it's just noise? Kind of interesting, but really? Bright morning star? Do you think that this is just egotism or arrogance or narcissism? That Jesus says that he is the star? The star of stars? Or do you believe this is his true identity? Do you believe that Jesus commands angels? That the angels belong to him? He can send his angel with a message and the angel goes, okay, go, I'll go do it. Do you believe that he is the son of David and the source of King David? Do you believe that he died for your sins and came back to life to give you life? What we said on Tuesday, the light of life. Do you believe that he is the bright star? You have to decide. And if you decide that he is, then you have to repent. Verse 14 talks about that. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. That's repentance. Verse 15 talks about those who refuse to repent. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. The unrepentant. I know which one I want to be. I want to be inside the eternal city. The next verse, verse 17, invites you and me to come to him and receive salvation. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. We just sang about that. And all glory be to Christ. It's free. Salvation is completely free because Jesus paid it all when he said, it is finished. But you have to decide whether you're going to drink it or not. You can't hang around in indecision trying to sit on the fence. There is no fence. You're either in or you're out. Do you believe this testimony? What do you think he means by morning star? I think bright is pretty obvious. But why morning? Balaam didn't say anything about morning in his prophecy. What does he mean by morning star? I know he's not claiming to be a Christian bookstore in State College, though that old bookstore was probably named for this verse. I went into this week assuming that he meant the sun. Because that's the star of the morning, right? And Jesus is like the sun. Do you remember the prophecy of Zechariah about his son John, who would become the Baptist? And what Zech said about what John would do, it's in Luke chapter 1. He said, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven." Let's talk about Jesus. "To shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Jesus is the rising sun. We're about to sing it again in just a minute. "Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness." But I learned this week that the sun was not thought of as a star by most of the ancient people. Some Greek astronomers had suggested that idea, but it wasn't widely known as it is now that the sun is a star. The sun was the sun. The heavenly body that they used to call the morning star is one that we often still call the morning star, and that's the planet we often call Venus, second rock from the sun, right? After the sun and the moon, Venus is the brightest natural thing in the sky. You know what I'm talking about? When you think about that thing up there in the sky you often see, it's the brightest thing other than the sun or the moon. Sometimes we call it the evening star because of its orbit, but every 584 days, I sound like such an expert, don't I? It's because I know how to Google, all right? Every 584 days, it switches to being called the morning star. And when it's the morning star, it heralds the coming of a new day. It's going to happen again starting in March. Right now it's the evening star. Then it's going to disappear for a little bit. You won't be able to see it. But when you see Venus next in the sky, it means that morning is nigh. It's the harbinger of the dawn. It says sunrise is coming. A new day is coming. And in this case, it's the day of the Lord. Does that make sense? Jesus is like that morning star in that he is bright and he ushers in a new day. Which leads us to application point number two, which is simply to yearn for it. To long for that new day to come. I've had the privilege of seeing a number of beautiful sunrises over the last month. My morning walk and the sunrise have coincided a great number of times in the last few weeks. And I've felt the sun on my face and then on my back. And I've seen it go up the trees of Lance and show off their beauty and herald a new day coming. Most of the time we love it when the dawn comes, don't we? Kind of waiting for the day. We can hardly wait. Especially if we expect it's going to be a good new day. Like a child going to bed on Christmas Eve, yearning for the morning to come. When you go to bed on Christmas Eve, it's like, oh, it's coming, it's coming. But you got to wait, right? You know it's going to be so good, but you got to wait. We have to wait for the return of Jesus. We have to wait for the second advent when Jesus comes again. But we know that he's coming. We can see the first rays of light coming over the horizon. And there's the bright morning star telling us that the new day is sure and soon to come. That's why the very next verse is the prayer of our hearts. Verse 17. He says, the bright morning star. And then verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who's the bride? The bride's of the church. And let him who hears say, come. When you hear verse 16, your heart should leap. Yes, oh, come. Come, bright morning star. Come. We're ready for you. Come. We want the star to rise. We want the star to win. We want the star to reign. We want the star to shine forever. Isaiah prophesied of this day. This new day. He said in Isaiah chapter 60, arise, Shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Is that the prayer of your heart? Let him who hears say, come. Go ahead, say, come. Come. It's dark right now. We all feel it. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. I'm the bright morning star, Jesus says. Behold, I am coming soon. A new day is coming. Do you long for that day? Are you living your life today in light of that day? Or have you gotten too comfortable with today and stopped thinking about living for that day? Because Jesus is the bright morning star, we need to be living for that day, that new day coming. Our eyes on the star. We need to get our eyes up and on that bright star. And we need to tell others. We need to get other people's eyes up on that star too. And that's point number three, testify. Once we decide that we believe that Jesus is all of this, we need to start telling other people. Like John did to the church in verse 16. In verse 10, the angel from Jesus told John to not seal up the words of this prophecy because the time was near. He was not supposed to keep quiet, but to shout it from the mountaintops of that little island in the Mediterranean. Amen. Go tell it on the mountain. And that's what Janelle is doing this morning by giving her testimony. She's standing before this church family and saying that she believes, that she's crossed over from death to life because of Jesus. And we all need to do the same out there. Who could you tell this week? Because we not only believe that Jesus is the bright morning star, but we actually have him in our hearts. You know, this is not the first time that the morning star is mentioned in the book of Revelation. It's just the last time. It's actually mentioned in chapter 2 in the letter to the church at Thyatira. Someday, Lord willing, we'll study all seven of the letters to the churches in chapters 2 and 3, right before I retire. We'll get to Revelation. In each one, the Lord promises to give all kinds of blessings on those who overcome. Same root word as what Jesus says he did in John 16:33. But the emphasis here is that they overcame unbelief and persevered in faith, even under persecution. They believed and they continued to believe and they continued to testify to that belief. That's what it means to overcome. And listen to what the Lord promised to all those who would overcome in Revelation 2:28. I will also give him the morning star. Wow. Did you know that you have a morning star right now? He's been given to you. You and I, if we have true faith in Jesus, we get the morning star himself as our gift. And we get to participate in his kingdom when the new day dawns. We get to enjoy him forever, which is our last point for this morning. Point number four, bask. We get to bask in the light of this star forever. He will shine on, and we will always get to enjoy his light. Earlier in the same chapter, chapter 22, verse 5, John reports that the new heavens and the new earth, in them the darkness of evil will be totally gone. He says, there will be no more night. There will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. We won't need the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. We sang it already this morning. Behold, our God shall live with us and be our steadfast light, and we shall e'er his people be. All glory be to Christ. We will forever bask in his bright light. Right now we have to wait. I don't want to wait. Come. But the day is coming, and it's coming soon. I think that's what the Apostle Peter was alluding to in his second letter when he told us to pay attention to the Old Testament, like the book of Numbers, chapter 24, while we wait for the dawn. Peter said this, "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And then we will enjoy him forever." How do I know? Because Jesus himself says so. Verse 16, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star." Amen.